Second Peter, chapter 2. Second Peter, chapter 2. We'd like to read verses 15 and verse 16. Which have forsaken the right way, are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. In these verses, Peter is guided and directed by the Holy Spirit, draws a very sharp comparison between false teachers of his day and the Old Testament account of a man by the name of Balaam. We read of Balaam in Numbers 22, and in verse 15 of our text, it says that these false teachers, they have forsaken the right way. They have gone astray, and they follow the way of Balaam. If you forsake the right way, you will go astray, and you will follow someone similar to Balaam. So that's the comparison between the false teachers and Balaam. You read primarily of Balaam in Numbers 22 through Numbers 24. And he's mentioned briefly nine other times in the Old Testament outside of Numbers 22 through 24. He's mentioned three times in the New Testament. In verse 15 of our text, we read of the way of Balaam. The way of Balaam. In Jude, we read of the error of Balaam. The way of Balaam is that he wanted to curse Israel in order to gain materially. In verse 16, Peter makes reference to how the Lord used a donkey, speaking with a man's voice, to forbid or to correct, to rebuke the madness of the prophet, or the madness of Balaam. The word madness has the meaning of insanity, derangement, lunacy, instability, psychosis, craziness. It's not our intent to focus upon Balaam or what Balaam did. But we do want to center our thought this morning upon the fact that the way of Balaam, which is an abandonment of the right way and a going astray, we want to focus upon the fact that that is referred to as madness in verse 16, or insanity. And that's our subject, the insanity of sin. The insanity of sin. Every act of sin is an act of insanity, derangement, lunacy. The Bible presents sin as insanity. The pursuit of sin, the act of sin, the continuance in sin is insanity. And it leads to a further cycle of insanity. In other words, if you sin and you hold on to that and you continue that, the very fact that you sinned is an act of insanity, but it'll lead to a further cycle of insanity. Sin is presented in the Word of God as foolishness. Presents the fact that those who sin are foolish, refers to them as fools, which conveys the idea of that they are without reason. They are without reason. Try to reason with someone stuck in sin. It's pretty difficult because they've left reason, or reason has left them. To be a fool is to lack mental sanity, sobriety, a reckless habit of mind. The psalmist declared in Psalm 38 and 5, "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness." Because of my foolishness. Psalm 69, 5, "O God, thou knowest my foolishness, my lack of reason, my lack of sanity." Psalm 73, 22, the psalmist said, "So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast or as a dumb animal without sense before thee." Proverbs 19 and 3, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way." Perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. We read in Ecclesiastes 10, 13, concerning the fool, "The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness." That's insanity. Talking about the fool. Deuteronomy 32 and 6, God addresses his people concerning the pursuit and the act and the continuance in sin. He said, "O foolish people and unwise," speaking to his own people regarding their sin. Again, the pursuit, the act, the continuance in sin is insanity. And it leads to a further cycle of insanity. Not only is it presented as foolishness, it is presented as madness. And those who sin are presented as those who are mad. And I'm not talking about anger. We read in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 3, "The heart of the sons of men is full of evil and madness." Full of evil and madness. Madness there means derangement. Their heart is full of derangement and lunacy and craziness is in their heart while they live. We read in Jeremiah 50, verse 38, "They are mad upon their idols." That is, they're deranged when it comes to worshiping their idols. They're without reason. They're reckless. They're in a state of frenzy. They're manic. We read concerning the prodigal in Luke 15 and 17, "And when he came to himself," a phrase used to speak of the recovery from insanity. 2 Timothy 2 verse 25, we read of those that oppose themselves. Again, the pursuit, the act, and the continuance in sin is insanity and leads to a further cycle of insanity. We read in Romans 1 and verse 21, "They glorified him not as God." The terrible insanity of sin begins to set in when we do not glorify God as God. That's an act of insanity. And notice the result. "But became vain." It means they became narcissistic. If you do not recognize God as God, you will recognize yourself in the place of God. And you become narcissistic or self-obsessed. It says they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish, deranged, and reckless heart was darkened. And where did it begin? By not recognizing God as God, it led to a further cycle of insanity. In other words, their insanity progresses. And that's where we are today. People today are saying, "Has the whole world gone crazy?" Yes. They have. And it's going to get crazier. Because it just keeps on progressing. In verse 22 of Romans 1, we read, professing them. Again, this begins with, they glorified God not as God. Their foolish heart was darkened. And then they professed themselves to be wise. That is, in their minds, they see themselves as evolving in intelligence. You have to be insane to think that man is evolving in intelligence. The evidence does, all you got to do is look around. The evidence does not show that we are evolving in intelligence. They became fools. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And as we've said before, we get our English word moron from that word fools. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So their hearts become affected and they begin to exalt themselves in their so-called intelligence. And actually, they become moronic. That's where we are today. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And in their professed wisdom, they dismiss the perfect Word of God. They dismiss the perfect will of God. And they implement their own wicked, they implement the desires of their own wicked and deceitful heart over the Word and will of God. That's insanity. That's insanity. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And now science trumps God. That's insanity. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And now such philosophies as truth is relative and subjective. There is no right, there is no wrong. We must be accepting of that which is abominable. And now wrong is defended, and that which is right and decent and God-honoring is marked and ridiculed and attacked. That's insanity. Amen. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And now people are under their baser instincts. And fornication and adultery is put on par with God's ordained order of marriage. That's insanity. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and the divine order of the sexes is now mocked and ridiculed. And people don't know if they're male or female. If you do not know whether you are a male or female, you are insane. You have lost your mind. And that's where we are today. Same-sex marriage, marriage in quotation, I don't even like to use the word, is being touted and declared by the Supreme Court. Supreme Court is supposedly smart people, by the way, to be as normal as marriage between a man and a woman. Anybody who thinks that's insane. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And now, what's the result? Dysfunction is normal. It's everywhere. If you do not come from a dysfunctional family, if your family is not dysfunctional, you're not normal. Then, by the way, that's good not to be normal. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And now we have the utter foolishness of political correctness. Now we have a government that cannot function in the realm of common sense. It's not even possible. They cannot function in the realm of common sense because they're insane. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and now stability and morality and decency and honesty, all of those things are in the past, and society is now caught in the cycle of secularization, which is simply the process of evicting God, the process of eliminating God and eliminating His book, His word from everyday life. All you have to do is look around. And everywhere is the crazy, obsessive fascination with the things of this world. And how insane is it? We spend more and we have less. That's insanity. That's insanity. We have more conveniences, more time-saving devices, but people have less time. That's insane. This thing's convenient. This thing saves me time. Could you do such and such? Well, I really don't have time. That's insanity. We have more degrees and titles and less sense all the time. What we're doing is giving degrees and titles to people who don't know anything and then convincing them they're smart. That's insanity. We have more experts than ever before. And yet we have more problems than ever before. Could it be that the experts are creating a lot of the problems? No doubt about it. It's insanity. It's insanity. Oh, the derangement and the insanity of sin. Everywhere you look is evidence of a psychotic, deranged, and insane society. And if you're not careful, they'll begin to work on you and you might think you're the crazy one. No. You hold to this book, you're not the crazy one. This world has gone nuts. And people today blame the woes of society upon religion, upon economics, upon politics, upon Hollywood, upon education, etc. And though all of those are influential and contributory, the underlying factor is sin. Sin. The insanity of sin is insanity of the worst kind. And yet, it is a socially acceptable madness. It's socially accepted, the insanity of sin. The very nature of sin, when you think of what sin is, it's insanity. Consider what sin is. We read in 1 John 3 and verse 4 that it's the transgression of the law. Sin is a transgression of the law, God's law. God's law is perfect. God's law was given for our ultimate good. Sin goes aside from that which God prescribes in His law. Oh, the madness to pursue, to do, and to continue and that which goes aside from what is perfect. We read in 1 John 5, verse 7, that all unrighteousness is sin. Sin is against right. Sin is anti-right. Sin opposes what is right. Sin disagrees with God. How deranged do you have to be to disagree with God? How deranged do you have to be to hold on to something that is in disagreement with God? It's insanity to sin. All through the Word of God, sin is referred to as iniquity. It is a twisting. It is a perverting of what God has said.
And God cannot lie. God cannot be mistaken. So to pervert, to twist the words of one who cannot lie is an act of insanity. It's craziness. Sin is non-compliance with God. It is a failure to comply with God. It is a failure to abide by what God says. It is a failure to observe what God has said. It is a failure to follow it. It is to adhere, to uphold, to accept, and respect that which goes against God. That is insanity. To sin, to pursue sin, to continue in sin. There's no rationale about that. The Bible refers to sin in several ways, but it's always against God. Sin is always against God. And just think of those two words, against God. Against God. How insane does one have to be against God? But all sin is against God. In fact, in Romans 8 verse 7, it is declared to be enmity against God. That is, it's hostility against God. God holds your breath in His hand. How insane must you be to be hostile toward Him? It is animosity toward God. It is bitterness toward God. It is against God. Enmity against God. God, oh, the lunacy to pursue that which is against God. Oh, the lunacy to do what's against God and to continue in it. Deuteronomy 9, verse 7, we see ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Rebellious against God, rising up against God. Isaiah 1 and verse 2, I have nursed and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Isaiah 45 and 9, sin is viewed as a striving against God. God is almighty. How insane must you be to strive against the omnipotence of God? It is pictured as a contending against God. In fact, in Micah 2 verse 8, God speaks of His people. He says, they've risen up against me as an enemy. My people have risen up against me as an enemy. How insane. How insane to do that. But yet it is another degree of sanity to continue to do it. And then another degree of sanity, insanity, to try to justify it. That's insane. From all this, we see sin as an act of resistance, an act of opposition against God. It is an act of uprising and insurrection against God. It is rising up against God as an enemy. It is a defiance of God. It is a disregard of God. It is casting aside the person of God, the Word of God, the will of God. It is an aversion to God. It is an attitude of ingratitude toward God. And all of this in the face of His authority, His power, His goodness, His love, His grace, His mercy, His long-suffering, and His holiness. Oh, the psychosis of sin. And then to continue in it, you're insane to do so. Sin is referred to in Numbers 11 and verse 20. Has a despising of the Lord. And Numbers 15:30 has a reproaching of the Lord. What does that mean? To reproach the Lord is a form of reprimanding the Lord. Have you lost your mind? To reprimand God, to try and correct God, to say my way is better than your way, that's insanity. It's insanity of the worst kind, and yet it is a socially accepted insanity, which is another form of insanity. To accept such insanity is insane. Since it's a reprimanding of the Lord, it's an act of blasphemy. It's an act of irreverence toward God. Sin is contrary to God. It's contrary to the nature of God. It's contrary to the names of God. It's contrary to the attributes of God. It's contrary to the will of God. In fact, it is anti-will to God's will. It is setting itself to oppose. Sin opposes preaching of God's word. Sin opposes prayer. Sin opposes all institutions of God. It is contrary to the image of God. It is contrary to the glory of God. Sin is referred to as a provoking of the Lord. You consider who God is. And you consider that you're not even a drop in the bucket. And to provoke God is an absolute act of insanity. It's insane to provoke the Lord. Sin is a reaction against God. To react against God is insanity. Sin has the very nature and the features and the very behavior of Satan. It is a conformity to the character of Satan. Oh, how deranged must one be to pursue sin, to commit sin, and then to continue in it and defend it. Oh, the derangement of sin. Sin is referred to in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1 and James 1, 21 as filthiness. It's compared to a menstruous cloth in Isaiah 30, in verse 22. In the book of Matthew, chapter 23, 27, it's compared to the stench of the graves. 2 Peter 2, verse 22, the mire and dung that fills the ditches that the sows wallow in. And also to the vomit of dogs. From all of that, we see that sin is repulsive. It's detestable. It's offensive to God. It's the abominable thing that God hates. It's infectious. It multiplies. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it's compared to leaven because it spreads and it grows. The disease and plague of sin does not lie dormant, but it spreads its tentacles and squeezes the life of the individual, obstructing that individual and hindering their life. How insane to pursue such, to continue in such. Sin is always contrary and setting against. Is an opposition to the physical, mental, and emotional and spiritual well-being of you and I. It goes against us. There's nothing it does for us. In every way, it's against us. It's not beneficial to us. It's not profitable to us. If you think it is, you absolutely are insane. Oh, the insanity of pursuing that which will destroy you. All the insanity of holding unto that which is destroying you. All the insanity of trying to defend sin. It goes against our comfort and joy. It goes against our peace and tranquility of mind. It works against our satisfaction. It works against our health. It goes against man's conscience. It's opposed to man's overall good. Wherever there is sin, there's destruction. There's ruin. There's loss. There's havoc. there's misery. In fact, sin has caused more heartache and more misery than any other plague or enemy of mankind. It has wrought more destruction than any so-called disaster. You cannot even begin to measure the affliction, the misery, the suffering, the anguish, and the pain that sin has caused. Sin always leaves a wide path of ruin and loss. Individual lives have been destroyed by sin. Families have been destroyed by sin. Homes have been destroyed by sin. Churches, countries, on and on we can go. Sin is destructive. And the ravages of sin are seen everywhere. Seen all through the Word of God. Seen all through human history. Seen all through the world today. It has reduced individuals into vehicles of happiness rather than objects of love. So-and-so doesn't make me happy anymore, so I'm going to go elsewhere. That's insanity. But you see, sin has reduced people to just vehicles of happiness. If you can't make me happy, I'm done with you. Love has nothing to do with it. Oh, what derangement, lunacy, and madness of sin. It's a thief. It's fraudulent. It's deceptive in every way. Hebrews 11:25, we read of the pleasures of sin. Sin has a very short shelf life. Very short. Sin is a power that works against man. This disabling power of sin is seen all through the miracles of Christ. And we've preached on that many times. Sin is directional. It always moves away from God. We've lost our minds when we willfully choose to move away from God. And God is everything that you and I need. In Him is the strength, the help, the comfort, the encouragement, the protection, the rest, the assurance that I need. In Him is that which is incorruptible. Sanity would dictate that I ought to seek God. That I ought to pursue Him. That I ought to lean upon Him. That I ought to rely upon Him. I ought to embrace Him. I ought to cast everything upon Him. I ought to draw from Him. Sanity would dictate that. But we read in Romans 12 and verse 1, that the reasonable thing to do is to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's the reasonable thing to do. That's the sane thing to do. So if we don't do that, that's insanity. That's derangement. Sin turns its back upon God. The prodigal son is a perfect example. It's a madness that is out of control. And it is absolute madness and insanity, to begin to think this way. You know, the good life is going to pass me by. So I feel compelled to leave God and pursue the world. That's insanity. The moment you think that this world is a good life, you're out of your mind. And then to pursue it your insanity is even increased. And then to continue in it and defend it and act like there's nothing wrong with it, you are insane. It is an act of insanity. Everyone here just about would say, yes, this is God's house. We can come here and meet with God. But tonight, I've got a family reunion, so I won't be here. You're insane. You're insane. Cousin so-and-so's in town, so I won't be here. I won't meet with God tonight because I have an opportunity to meet with my cousin. I haven't seen him in 20 years. I don't care if you haven't seen him in 50 years. Doesn't matter. That is insanity to choose family over God. It is family to choose anything out in the world over God. And then how insane do you have to be when your life falls apart and say, I just can't figure it out. No, I imagine you can't because you're insane. I'm not talking to you individual, I might be. The insanity of a horizontal, pleasure-oriented heart that moves away from God. To live our lives horizontally is insanity. We're to live our lives vertically, getting closer and closer to God. To choose the horizontal over the vertical, you've lost your mind. We've lost our mind when we do that. And then to continue doing it, and then to defend it, again, is off the charts. Insane. And this insanity has filled life with fear. People are more fearful today than they've ever been. It's filled our lives with struggles. All the waste. All the waste. And the ruin. And the decay. And the disorder. And the loss. The disappointment. And the discouragement. And the defeat. And the misery. And the curse that sin has brought. And yet people say, that's what I'm going to do. That's insanity. That's insanity. Leviticus 26, God set before His people two ways of life. Verse 3, He said, if you walk in My statutes... And then He goes on to tell them that if they do this, they would receive the guidance of God through life. There would be fruitfulness in their life. There would be peace. There would be rest. There would be fearlessness. There would be deliverance. There would be power to overcome. There would be the favor of God. There would be the provision of God. There would be fellowship with God. Who wouldn't choose that? An insane person. Because verse 14 says, but if you will not. But if you will not hearken unto Me and will not do these commandments. And then He follows telling them what would happen. He says you will have fear. You will have decline. You will have bondage. You will have unanswered prayer. You will have sorrowful loss. Two ways. And man chooses the will not way. Will not do His commandments. That's insanity. That is insane. All of this should remind us of this fact that there is healing, restoration, and cleansing from the awful plague of sin with the Lord. So the same thing to do is to mourn over sin. To mourn over our sin. The same thing to do is to hate it. And it's pretty bad when a person hates sin and they're ridiculed for it and thought to be crazy. Sin ought to be hated. We ought to avoid it. That's the same thing to do, is to avoid sin. The same thing to do is to guard against it, to confess it, to flee from it. That's the same thing to do. Any other course is insanity. Any other course other than fleeing from sin is insanity. So yes, the world has gone mad. We live in an insane asylum. And they're getting more and more insane by the day. But we must not become the insane. We must be faithful followers of the Lord. Please do not think that this message is in any way degrading those who have mental issues. That's not the point at all. The point is the worst case of insanity is sin. But there is a cure. And that's in God. And sin is the problem today. Don't get sidetracked. Oh, if we can fix our economic system, the country will be okay. No, it won't. I'm all for fixing economics. I'm all for it. But that's you're insane if you think that's going to fix everything. All we have to do is fix the educational system. I'm in total agreement that we have to fix the educational system. That won't fix the problem, though. The problem is sin. You fix sin, you take care of that, everything else will fall in place. Oh, the insanity of sin. There are days where I feel like just banging my head against the wall. You say, well, you've lost your mind. Yes, sometimes I think I have. Because it's just mind-boggling. I keep saying it's beyond belief, and it is. Now, I don't mean to be discouraging, but it's going to get worse. Because the insanity just keeps progressing. And progressing. God help us not to get caught in that cycle. Not to get caught in that cycle of insanity, but that we would pursue God. Stay close to God. That's what works. That's what works. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse